This capacity crowd on hand certainly enjoying the action thus far here in the World Wrestling Federation.
Wow, look at this guy.
Yes, he is a monster.
The Big Boss Man.
The Big Boss Man from Cobb County, Georgia.
Former prison guard.
I can see why.
Some people see it as a sport. Others see it as pure theater. But no matter what you think of professional wrestling, it's in the midst of a huge revival, fueled partly by clever promotion and partly by the recent growth in cable TV and unaffiliated stations. The revival has made the grunts and groans, the brags and threats of wrestlers standard TV fare. My guest Irvin Muchnick has reported on the growth of professional wrestling and what he calls junk entertainment for such publications as the Washington Monthly, Sports Illustrated, and Mother Jones. He's currently at work on a book about the promotional wars in wrestling. I asked him about the current revival.
Right now, we're in a period, a cultural moment, you might say, where wrestling is thriving. But wrestling is also a huge business. It's probably a $300 million a year business around the world, and probably more than half of that is in the United States. So I think it's a fascinating pop culture phenomenon and a fascinating convergence of marketing forces and other forces in this age of Reagan and Rambo. You know, people can watch it and see all social differences resolved through physical aggression. And it's kind of disturbing also because of its racial and ethnic stereotypes.
I have a feeling that some of our listeners haven't seen wrestling in a long time. So I'm going to ask you to take a stab at describing what wrestling on television looks like now. First of all, I mean, all the wrestlers have to have a persona.
Yeah, you really can't make it now without some kind of handle or gimmick. I mean, every once in a while there's a wrestler whose gimmick is that he has no gimmick and that he just comes in his tights and wrestles. But that's rare. I mean, usually you have to be some ethnic representation, or you have to be a big muscle man, or you have to be some mythic figure, or you have to come in a crazy costume, or you have to come in a mask. And that in combination with your interviews and the way you project your personality through your work in the ring is what makes a professional wrestler as opposed to an amateur wrestler.
Give us some examples of some of the more flamboyant characters in wrestling now.
Well, when you're talking about characters in wrestling, you have to start with Hulk Hogan, of course, who is by far the most successful gate attraction in the history of the sport. He probably makes about $1 million a year and is worth many more times that to his boss at the World Wrestling Federation. Hogan, who's better known to his wife and baby daughter as Terry Bollea, is a big 6'5", 280, 290-pound, muscle-bound, blonde, tanned superhero, and he's become a major figure. He had a cartoon series, a line of dolls, and had a bit role in Rocky III, the movie, and is really wrestling's first all-around mega star celebrity.
I think the question that's most commonly asked about wrestling is it fixed?
No, Virginia, wrestling is not the epitome of the Greco-Roman tradition. The matches are staged, but in a little more complex fashion than most people realize. I mean, not every move is choreographed. Wrestling is an art form. To me, it's an almost beautifully brutal kind of ballet in which the wrestlers have to play off each other, play off the crowd, have to know some moves and how to get heat, as they say. And the only things that are really planned in advance are the length of the match, the approximate length of the match, and the finishing move.
Let's get to drawing blood. Sometimes the wrestlers bleed in a match. Now, I've read in various places that there have been times when the wrestlers had razor blades on them to draw their own blood so that it would look more dramatic.
Yes, that is in fact the way it's done most commonly. There may be other ways to do it, but this is the common practice in wrestling. It's called juicing. A wrestler has a razor blade concealed in his trunks or under his wristband or whatever, and at an opportune moment, hopefully when his opponent is distracting the referee and the crowd, he'll nick his forehead and the blood will gush and. And the crowd will go crazy when they see blood. So it's one of those self-mutilating aspects of wrestling that's pretty much accepted within the business, but it's uh, It's kind of sounds kind of gross to anybody who's not familiar with it.
Is it legal?
It is. It's not illegal in most places. I mean, there are places where they specifically try to crack down on the problem, and it creates a whole new level of problems. In Oregon, they recently tried to ban the practice of blading, and so what happens is that wrestlers start drawing blood legitimately when they feel they have to excite the crowd, and that means that they do it what's called the hard way. They'll take a knuckle and grind it into each other's foreheads, or they'll rub against a ring post or a rope. And, you know, in many ways, that can be more dangerous and unsanitary than using a nice, clean, sterile razor blade. So it gets to the whole problem of wrestling and its appearance versus reality dialectic, because the thing about wrestling is that although people can get injured, that's not actually what they're trying to do to each other. And part of what allows, I think, a lot of fans to suspend their disbelief and enjoy the spectacle of wrestling is the knowledge that that while it's a dangerous and very physical form of entertainment, these guys aren't really getting hurt.
Yet a lot of them do get hurt in spite of the degree to which wrestling is choreographed, because there's still always mistakes that are going to be made.
Mistakes are
bad
made,
falls.
And there are just a lot of things that you can't avoid in this kind of form of show business. It's very dangerous. There are a lot of aerial moves. Moves can be missed, and people can accidentally hit each other with an elbow or whatever.
In the city I live, you can watch wrestling in the morning, I think in the late afternoon, and in the evening. It's on a couple of different stations. There's at least two different wrestling federations that have their own shows in the area. How did wrestling get so much airtime? It certainly didn't have that much airtime when I was growing up.
Well, I think the big factor in the phenomenal growth of wrestling in recent years is changes in the television business. And by that I mean the explosive growth of cable television, for one thing. But beyond that, the new stations that have come online in just the last few years, mostly independent stations, and their ravenous need for cheap, easy programming, which wrestling provided in the golden age of television back in the late 40s and 50s, and is doing it again with a vengeance now, because in addition to the new technologies, and home video should be added to that as well, we have an era of galloping deregulation. Promoters, like toy manufacturers with children's cartoon shows, can literally buy their way onto the air.
How does that work? How literally are they buying time? What would the arrangement be?
Literally, the arrangement is, for example, in St. Louis, the World Wrestling Federation pays, I think it is $2,100 a week cash to the station for airing its show. And I think there's probably a percentage deal in there on the sales of tickets at Kiel Auditorium. I know that same kind of arrangement exists out in San Francisco and I think in most of the major markets in the country. And that, in fact, is how the World Wrestling Federation was able to expand from being a regional promotion in the Northeast, which it was a few years ago, to a national and even international merchandising juggernaut, which it is today.
What are your greatest concerns about wrestling now?
I guess my concerns are that there's too much of it, that it's gotten, you know, very gruesome, and it kind of dehumanizes all of us to get too overly wrapped up in this this little fun fringe form of junk entertainment that somehow has become a major league spectacle. But I'm very happy for the guys in the business who work very hard and who are finally, you know, some of them at least, making some big bucks. They deserve it.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. It was my pleasure.
Irvin Muchnick's latest article on wrestling is in the June issue of Washington Monthly. He spoke to us from KQED in San Francisco.
Jimmy Boy does it the more conventional, full extension, driving the man into the mat. All right, let's see now what Dynamite can do. He was just tagged in. Ooh, power slam by Davey Boy. Dynamite sending Horowitz to the outside. Dynamite is up in the air.
This is Fresh Air.